This program has been brought to you by Roberta's Pizza, robertaspizza.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, and I've got a really interesting interview today. I'm speaking with Farah Ravan of the Vafa Animal Shelter located in Hashgerd, Iran. The Vafa Animal Shelter was created by Fatima Matomedi, who has a deep love for animals of all shapes and sizes and who donated her land and organized the building of the shelter with her own funds. The shelter is under the supervision of Mr. Ali Sani and is run by a group of devoted volunteers and caring veterinarians who donate much of their services. The shelter is currently home to over 450 dogs. Farah Ravan works in public relations, foreign adoptions, and PR for the organization outside of Iran. She's managed to help rehome 95-plus dogs and some special cats so far and works tirelessly, along with others, to help make the Vafa Animal Shelter what it is today. Hi, Farah, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Celia.
Thank you so much for speaking with us today. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm really excited to hear all about this. I love Iranian culture, and so that alone, I'm so excited to talk to you. And then this whole subject, I think, is really wonderful, and I love that you guys have created the first rescue in Iran. So let's get started.
Okay.
So could you tell us a little bit about the history of the shelter?
Sure. In late 2003, Mrs. Motamedi, who's a longtime animal rights advocate, established this NGO to protect animal rights. She considered establishing the first shelter in Iran, as in the country's first. So the shelter became a reality when her husband donated a chunk of land, but she knew much more was needed. However, besides land, such as supplies, pet food, money, and staff to operate the facility. Mm-hmm. Raising money in a country not accustomed to animal shelters wouldn't be easy, but that didn't stop this small but dedicated group. They were on a mission to build a shelter, and that's what they would build.
That's great.
By about mid-2004, Vafa, which means loyalty, accepted their first furry occupants. Hungry, lost, and often frightened dogs found refuge on the outskirts of Hashgerd, which is about an hour and a half west of Tehran, on the road to Qazvin. And that's pretty much wraps up a little bit about the history of the shelter.
So what is the stray dog and cat problem like in Iran? Is it similar to what we have here?
Like most parts of the world, the authorities and citizens of Iran just don't understand and believe in benefits of spaying and neutering cats and dogs. So I guess not all of U.S. is like that. But on the other hand, since people who live in major cities aren't allowed to have dogs or to walk them on the streets, most people are interested in having small dogs mm-hmm. so they can keep them and exercise them in their privacy of their own backyards and not have to take them out as much. Mm-hmm. As a result, there's so many awful puppy mills out there, and people unknowingly support this by purchasing their companion animals instead of adopting them. Mm. Some of these purchased dogs get dumped because the people who bought them realize that they can't care for them anymore, and this vicious cycle continues.
Wow. So you've got puppy mills in Iran?
Yes, unfortunately, we do.
I'm sorry to hear it. Wow. And so what problems did the strays experience over there?
Being shot by the authorities, getting run over or hurt by cars. Unfortunately, some are intended. Mm. Getting their ears and tails cut off by ignorant people.
Wow.
Getting abused and kicked around by those who hate dogs or believe the dogs are najis, which means dirty.
Mm. And so what does an Iranian dog look like? Like, what breeds are in them? I've seen photographs, and they're so cute. I can't stand it. They're such gorgeous dogs. But, like, how big are they? And, you know, tell me about them.
There's a lot of GSD mixes, German Shepherd mixes in them, Border mm-hmm. Collie, Australian Shepherd mixes, Saluki mix. Saluki is kind of like Persian Greyhound.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the small dog breed mixes. Typically, the hypoallergenic breeds are what I see in the small breed mixes. Some of the smaller dogs are purebred, as we mentioned earlier, since mm-hmm. they're originally purchased from a puppy mill or a breeder.
Yeah, yeah.
But most that shelter houses, almost 99% are large breed dogs.
That makes sense. I mean, when I was looking at your website, I mean, they all look, none of them look that small except for the puppies, but they look like they're a good-sized dog. You know, they look like they're about like 40-pounders. And the personality in them, I was showing a friend of mine, and I think she's probably going to call you by the end of the week. She just fell completely in love with like six of the dogs on your site. With some luck, we'll get one placed for you because they just look lovely and they look so sweet, you know?
Yep, they are.
So how come the shelter's in Hashgerd and not in somewhere like Tehran or a city or closer to it?
Well, lands near Tehran are very expensive, and I'm sure they were back in 2003 as well.
Yeah.
In addition to that, of course, the land was donated by Mrs. Motamedi's husband, and it was already in Hashgerd. There's hundreds of stray dogs that live in that area. Right now, of course, not as much because we are housing many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But since they're not altered, they constantly reproduce. Cars often hit the dogs as they cross that busy highways around there.
Mm.
And unfortunately, not all of them die immediately, I have to say. Some linger in agonizing pain on the roadside for days until they finally perish. Establishing a shelter at that location simply made sense to her.
Makes sense. And as you were saying earlier, too, that you can't walk dogs in Tehran. So I would think that if you had a larger animal, it would be really, really difficult to have that in the city itself.
Yes.
So what is Vafa's mission?
We worked on this a little bit, so I'll read it for you.
Okay.
To raise the human consciousness on the protection, health, and well-being of all animals in Iran. To provide safe living conditions and proper vet care for domestic pets and to protect wildlife within their natural habitats. We're a nonprofit, non-political organization whose long-term goal is to be free of any organized secular or political groups' involvement. We have united to work towards one goal, education and protection of animals.
That sounds great.
And there's a lot more on the website, which you can read.
Yeah, and we're going to give the website address at the end of the interview and stuff, because I know people are going to be interested and are going to want to see a little bit more regarding what you guys do. And so let's say, I can't do it right now, but I would love to. But let's say I call you because I want to adopt one of these dogs. What is the process when you're doing the importing the exporting, really, of these dogs from Iran?
Well, to answer the question about import-export, we pretty much are at the mercy of Iranians or those who travel to Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on the airline that they take. We usually just reach out and say we're looking for volunteer transporters, and basically if they happen to be coming back, we check on the airline, and if the airline allows a pet to be added to their reservation, we'll take care of all the arrangements. Unfortunately, because of the sanctions, we're not allowed to go to just the cargo building of, let's say, Lufthansa in Tehran and make reservations to send a dog without a ticketed passenger.
Wow.
So that's the import-export part of it. But as far as adopting process, I have more to tell you. I'm not sure where you're going with these questions, so I'll wait.
Well, tell me about what happens. Like, if I contact you and say, you know, I'd really want one of these dogs, what happens then?
Okay. Well, we have two teams. One's handling all the adoption inquiries inside the country, and we handle adoptions outside of Iran. So two of my dear friends, Mariam and Rachel, help me review the applications when we receive them. We screen them, interview them, and if all goes well, we arrange a meeting in a neutral location, unless the dog's still in Iran. And in that case, we share video clips and as much info as we have about the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the first meeting, we conduct a home inspection. And this could be anywhere in the U.S. because I'm blessed to have a great network and work with other rescue groups who help me when I need home checks done.
That's great.
Anyway, if all goes well, we'll finalize the adoption. If the dog's already here, it means he or she has already been sponsored by one or more supporters.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, we just charge a $250 adoption fee, which covers up-to-date vaccinations, microchips, spay, neuter. If the dog is still in Iran and the family actually chooses the dog while she or he is in Iran, then they will be responsible to cover the expense of bringing their dog here.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the size of the dog and the airline the volunteer traveler is taking, it costs anywhere between $450 to about $900. In that case, we obviously waive the adoption fee.
Nice. I'll tell you, that's a good adoption fee. I mean, for the U.S., my cat was more than that.
Yeah.
It's a local Brooklyn cat.
Well, we pretty much checked around, and we wanted to be fair. And just so you know, every dollar of that adoption fee goes back to the shelter.
That's fantastic. That's really, that's unheard of, too, here, as you know. You know, that's fantastic. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Farah, we need to take a quick break. So I'm speaking to Farah Ravon of the Vafa Animal Shelter located in Iran. We're going to take a 1 minute break and we're going to continue very shortly.
You are listening to Best Friends by Eric Maltz.
Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
And we are back. I'm talking to Farah Ravon of the Vafa Animal Shelter located in Iran. And Farah, do a lot of people have pet dogs in Iran?
No, not a lot. I mean, you know, if you're talking about the whole population of Iran, no.
Okay. And are they treated more like are the dogs generally treated like family members like they do here or more like livestock?
Neither. Certainly not a family member in the American sense,
mm-hmm.
but certainly not livestock. Somewhere in between, I guess. In the U.S., pets are treated like a family member. They have their own beds. They're given special food. In Iran, most pet dogs usually don't have special bedding. And I'm talking most. Again, there's going to be a small number of people that totally take care of their dogs,
yeah.
just like we do, if not more.
Yeah.
Anyway, they don't usually have their special bedding. They're given leftover of what the owners ate, and they're not rushed to the vet when they're not feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the pets are doctored by the owners, and when better, they're taken to the vet,
mm-hmm.
if one's available.
Wow.
Leaving them at home for a long time, not a problem, but they're much more than livestock. They're loved and taken care of. They're talked to and played with.
Good. Good. And
yeah.
Is it difficult to find a veterinarian in Iran?
No, actually, there are many vets in Tehran and big cities, but there are none in small cities.
Mm.
Is
there, besides dogs and cats, is there like a common pet in Iran, like fish or gerbils or something?
Many keep birds inside cages, which is actually very popular because it's not against their Islamic belief.
Mm-hmm.
Also, many have cats, although the stray cat population is another big challenge in Iran.
I'll bet. I mean, they're tough. I lived in Key West, Florida for a while, and the stray population down there is unbelievable. And the problem, too, is since it's this little tiny island, they all interbreed and interbreed. So, I mean, the cats by the Hemingway house had, a friend of mine got a cat there that had 15 toes on its front feet. So you wind up getting these, like, you know, gene pool messes down there. And then, fortunately, a lot of people take them because of all the toes, because it's considered lucky. But, I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of what you just saw was just like a gene pool nightmare, you know?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, a little crazy, especially in the U.S., because, I mean, you know, the way that we take care of our pets in many cases is so extreme, you know, with having wardrobe and having beds and having, you know, all the luxuries of that a small child would have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in terms of pets in America, I think we're a little bit extreme on the far end of a family member. You know, it's very normal for someone here to say, you know, oh, my pet is my child. So I think that I think a lot of people use animals here as almost a surrogate child, or really give them a lot more. I think a lot of people have trouble distinguishing the fact that it's not a human being in some cases. Mm-hmm. You know, where it is an animal, and they're aware of that, but there's a much, much tighter bond. So I'm glad to hear that there are people in Iran that are treating their pets really well and not just like livestock, because that's the case in many places, you know?
Yep.
Are there working dogs there? Like, do you have dogs that do, like, sheep herding and things like that?
In villages, yes. There are shepherds have herding dogs. That's all I know of.
Mm. And then what got you involved with the shelter?
Well, my hobby is actually photography. I used to have a page on Iranian.com where I shared images that I captured during my trips to Iran and, you know, other countries and places.
Mm-hmm.
One day when I was on the page responding to a few comments, I noticed a photo essay about a non-Iranian who went to Iran and discovered Wafa Shelter. I just couldn't believe my eyes. I looked them up, found the founder's contact info, and then I happened to be going to Iran soon after, so she arranged for me to visit the shelter director at the time, and the rest is history.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I just love that you guys do this. I mean, it's got to be really difficult to do this, and the fact that there's so many volunteers and that you're helping so many dogs, it's really, really wonderful.
And we do best we can, that's for sure.
I mean, the fact that you got 450 dogs, I think that's pretty amazing. You know, I think that's fantastic. And so it was saying that a lot of your staff are volunteers, but who pretty much makes up your staff? Is it mostly volunteer?
Yes, it is mostly volunteer-based. The shelter has two workers who reside on site.
Mm-hmm.
They take care of the day-to-day things, such as cleanup, cooking, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
We also have another paid worker who lives close by, and he takes care of, you know, buying the food, going out to the market to get the food, the chicken heads, the vegetables, to make the daily meals, which they cook for them. And basically, the shelter director really receives a small amount as a salary, because
mm-hmm.
that's his full-time job. And everyone else in the management team, including yours truly, and other regular helpers are all volunteer-based. The shelter is in no position to pay everyone.
Wow.
Most of us have full-time jobs
mm-hmm.
and enjoy spending our free time helping our misunderstood best friends.
You guys are all going to heaven. This is so nice to hear. I just love how many of you guys are committed to do this, and you're really making huge changes. So it just makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. I'm really happy to hear what you guys are doing over there.
Thank you.
And is it, you know, for, I know that I've been a couple places, and whenever I travel to, I'm more like unusual for American spots, I always look and see if they have things like dog food and treats and stuff. Can you get like commercial dog food in Iran?
Yes, they get them. Really, I don't know what they get. We have access to it, but we don't feed the dogs with dry dog food on it, like kibbles every day. The kibbles we have, or we try to find when there's really tough winter days,
mm-hmm.
where the person that I was telling you who drives out and grabs the fresh items to cook, if he can't get out there, then those are the days they use the dry kibbles. Treats, you know, of course, 450 dogs, there's no way you can treat them every day. But when we have on Fridays, which is the weekend in Iran, when we have our supporters, you know, come out to visit the dogs,
mm-hmm.
we have pet days, we sometimes arrange bus, like a bus tour, let's say, that
mm-hmm.
people meet somewhere in Tehran and they all get in the bus and they come and they donate a little money just to cover the bus rental. They usually bring goodies with them.
Nice.
Although we still ask them not to really pull out their treats because there could be fights with so many dogs.
That's true,
and
too.
Somebody holding treats. So, yeah. But they have them. For sure they have them. I'm sure the families that have pets and they're in a good financial situation, I'm sure they get the best of everything over there.
Definitely. And then how is the shelter viewed by just like typical Iranians? Are they pro, con?
Well, the majority of citizens of Iran are not animal friendly.
Okay.
But the attitude is changing slowly and with the advent of the internet and social media. At the shelter, we have some wonderful volunteers who really work under very difficult situations, and they help to spread the word about compassion for animals. Currently, we have numerous citizens of Iran who've adopted dogs from Vafa, something that was unthinkable a few years ago.
Wow.
We've had great exposure both inside and outside Iran through social media, and our supporters are able to view pictures of the shelter, volunteers, and, of course, our dogs who travel to the West for homes. We have become known as a compassionate organization by those outside of Iran who realize the mammoth task we've got at hand.
Yeah.
So it's been good, and Facebook has been very, very helpful for us.
That's fantastic. And then do you work with other countries as well to rescue and send dogs out like they did in Sochi?
Not directly. My contact at Humane Society International actually reached out to me when they were working to help get some of those Sochi dogs out. Because she knew we've managed to arrange transport of so many dogs and special need cats abroad. My wish is to partner up with other rescue groups in other countries. However, I do work with several other rescue groups in the U.S., such as PAWS. I don't know if you've heard of them, Progressive Animal Welfare Society in outside of Seattle. I work with Muttville Senior Dog Rescue in San Francisco, Rocket Dog Rescue in San Francisco.
Nice.
There's many others, but a few to more I can name. Washington Animal Rescue League in Washington, D.C., SPCA of Dallas, Toronto Animal Services, and our latest partners, Marley's Mutt's Dog Rescue, which is based in Kern County in Central California.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. So what can our listeners do to help you guys?
Well, like our Facebook page and keep up to date with our needs. We post weekly about the animals. Be sure to check out the photo and video albums. I actually posted a wonderful video just today. Check it out. It's a lot of fun. We've got sponsorships available for the dogs at the shelter. We're always in need of foster families and assistance with pets as they arrive from Iran. I basically, you know, if... you reach out to me and let me know to add you to our network and where you're at. There's been times when, let's say, I had a traveler coming to Florida, and I didn't have anybody in Florida, but I had this list of people that I ended up emailing and saying, my dear friends in Florida, I need help. I need somebody to go to the airport to pick up a dog for me. And, you know, that's kind of things that people can do. We're always looking for ticketed passengers who are going to Iran to visit their families and agree to accompany a Vafa dog to North America or Europe. You know, and our website is vafashelter.com. And our Facebook page is Vafa Animal Shelter.
And how can we find you on YouTube? Your videos are amazing.
You know, I need to set it up under Vafa Shelter. Right now it's under my name, Farah Ravon. But that's on my to-do list to start a page under Vafa Shelter. Maybe somebody can volunteer to help me with that.
That would be awesome. Yeah, so if anybody's got, like, good skills on YouTube, please contact me. You can contact me at foodhealer.com. I can hook you up with Farah. And let's help her out, man. This woman's busy, this whole organization. I just love when people do things just out of love and wanting to care, you know? Like the fact that you have so many people working so tirelessly, I just want to say thank you for all the dogs that are in Iran that are getting better homes and better opportunities because of you guys. And, you know, for us here in the States where you can't throw a rock in Brooklyn without hitting a rescue shelter or something like that. I mean, there's one in this entire country. That's a huge deal. And you guys have to be unbelievably busy because of it. So thank you so much, because if you guys weren't doing it, I don't know if anyone else would, you know?
Thank you. And I have to just say that after Vafa Shelter was established in Iran, we've had several animal lovers who've contacted us, got advice, and actually there's a couple of other shelters around the country now. They've got a lot of work ahead of them. They wonder why we're as networking as much as we do. And I keep reminding them we've been doing this for almost 10 years now. So,
yeah.
I've only been involved with them for the last five, but it involves a lot of work. But I'm grateful that other Iranians are caring and looking into helping out the animals out there.
So what's your favorite thing, or what affects you the most doing this work?
For me?
Yeah.
In my case, I think every single dog that I manage to rehome or put into a loving home, it makes everything, all the hard work, all the hours we put in, so worthwhile. So my goal is to try to rehome all of them if I can, so there's more room at the shelter for other injured dogs. Yeah. At this point, they're way overcrowded, and they continue to, you know, I mean, we get calls every day to mm-hmm. take in new dogs, and we have to say no because there's simply no room. But that's my hope, is to try to help move some of those dogs so there'll be room for others.
I think that sounds great. And if anybody is Iranian or travels to Iran and back and forth and would like to really help out Vafa, please contact Farah, because they could use all the help they can get. And if someone's just willing to watch, you know, just basically get on the plane with this dog, once you get off, you get the dog. And, you know, it's not that bad. It's really not that hard. So if anyone's willing to do that, please contact Vafa. You can contact me as well, and we'll get some magic started. I think that would be great.
Thank you.
So far, is there anything else that you'd like to say?
No, thank you very much for having me on your show. I hope that we get more exposure. Basically, the more people hear about us, the more help we can get, and that's all we need. We need help.
Definitely.
And we finally, just so you know, are OFAC approved, so you can just go onto the website and donate by clicking on our PayPal account.
Awesome.
And we appreciate every dollar that we receive.
Awesome. Farah, thank you so much for taking time to speak with us. I really, really appreciate it. And I'm really glad that we could get this issue over the airwaves and really talk about it. I also wanted to thank the Vafa Animal Shelter for all your hard work and all your undying love. Heritage Radio Network, thank you so much as well. Remember to like Animal Instinct on Facebook. Also remember to like the Vafa Animal Shelter on Facebook. You can follow us and hear more about the show on Animal Instinct. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week with a whole new show. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.